to the book of Ruth, please. The book of Ruth that our brother has just referred to, and we'll read from chapter 1. Ruth, and in chapter 1, and we read from verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife, and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left of her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and of her husband. Now, the story is well known, so verse number 19. And they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again, empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem, and just notice this beautiful expression, in the beginning of barley harvest. Now come over with me to 1 Samuel. First book of Samuel, I'll take a reference. Chapter 16, please. First Samuel 16, and at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And we get the words of Samuel to the Lord. Verse number 4. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. Verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now into 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and chapter 23. Second Samuel 23, and in verse 11 we read about Shammah. In verse number 13, and 3 of the 30 chief went down, and came to David in the harvest time, unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim, and David was then in the hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the 3 mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it, and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men. Now, Luke's Gospel, I don't know if we'll have time to refer to all of these scriptures, but I'll read the reference. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And at verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Verse 4, and Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now we look for the Lord's gracious blessing and the help of His Spirit. You will likely have understood today that I want to speak just a short time on this beautiful place that we have read about in the Scriptures. We have read four occurrences of Bethlehem. If you had been at Sussex Conference last weekend, we learned at Sussex Conference that whenever we've got that word Beth, it means house. And I think it was our brother Penfold who told us, Beth-El, it means the house of God. When it comes to Bethlehem, it simply means the house of bread. The first reference of Bethlehem in the Scriptures is in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 35. And you will remember Jacob is coming back. He's on that journey back. And his dear wife, she traveled in birth. And Benjamin was born. And as Benjamin was born, his dear wife, she died in travail. And it was just at Bethlehem, just at the house of bread. And that's the first reference in Scripture to this place that I have read about. Now, I too don't intend to be too long here. So I'll give you where I'm trying to go. And if I don't get to all of the Scriptures, then you can develop it, even in your personal study. When we come to the book of Ruth, I see Bethlehem and the sojourner who returned to Bethlehem. I move over then in the Scriptures to Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and I see there the Savior who was rejected at Bethlehem. I come over to 2 Samuel, and in 2 Samuel chapter 23, I see there three mighty men who refreshed the heart of the king, and I learn of the sovereign who was refreshed at Bethlehem. And finally, in that lovely chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 16, you can see Samuel. And Samuel is told by the Lord, arise, go to Bethlehem. He says, Samuel, go to the house of Jesse, because he says, there amongst the sons of Jesse, I have prepared for me a king amongst his sons. And I see there the son that reigned at Bethlehem. You can see Samuel. He takes the horn of oil and he anoints David in the midst of his brethren. What a picture. There is one anointed king, my brethren. Quite a thing. We have heard of that moment when he will come from the glory. That moment when he will be manifested and made visible. And God hath yet anointed one who will yet reign. We don't see everything put under his feet just at this present time. But we see Jesus, and God has said, this is the anointed king, the son that reigned at Bethlehem. What about this portion, this lovely portion of the book of Ruth? It's quite a book. I heard a man one time, he gave us a beautiful opening of the book. I give it to you. His opening of the book was, Ruth chapter 1, we have 10 years in Moab. Ruth chapter 2, we have one day in the field. Ruth chapter 3, we have one night at his feet. And Ruth chapter 4, we have 1 hour at the gate. Now, I'm not sure about his time reference there. I'll be honest. I'm not sure about the hour at the gate, but you'll pardon the dear brother. He's in heaven now, so I'll not tell you his name. But if I see him in heaven, I might ask him, where'd you get that hour business? In Ruth 4, where did you get the hour at the gate? But it is a beautiful breakdown of the book of Ruth. Quite a thing, isn't it? That we have read, I want to speak to you of a day of famine. It says in Ruth chapter 1, it was in the days when the judges ruled. And there's this dear man, Elimelech, and his wife, Naomi. And it says, there came a famine in those days. It's quite a thing. It was a day of famine. This is the fourth famine in the Scriptures. You will remember Genesis 12, the famine in the life of Abraham. That's the first famine, when he went down into Egypt. You will recall Genesis 26,
the famine in the life of Isaac. You will remember Genesis 43, the famine in the life of Joseph. This is the fourth famine in the Bible. It was a day of famine. I do notice this. It says it was in the days when the judges ruled. You go through the book of Judges. You young folks here, go through the book of Judges. Read the book of Judges. You know the amazing thing in the book of Judges? There's no reference to a famine. You read the whole of the book, and as far as I can see, in the book of Judges, no reference to a famine. But there is this. I read in the days of Gideon that the nation of Israel, they were impoverished because of the Amalekites, because of the children of the east. They were impoverished. And I see a man in the book of Judges, and it was a day of poverty. And one man said, "This is a day of poverty. I need to stay to feed the Lord's people in the house of bread." And another man said, "It's a day of famine. I need to leave. I need to leave the house of bread." Maybe I'm speaking to someone today. Dear brother, dear sister, maybe you're just on the verge of leaving because to you, it's a day of famine. I hope not. I hope there's no one here. And in their minds, they are thinking, the church of God, the assembly, man, it's a famine. I would suggest to you that it just wasn't a physical famine. I think it was a spiritual famine in the life of Elimelech. Well, you say, prove that. Will you go through Ruth chapter 1 and you read those first 5 verses? There's no reference to God. There's no reference to Jehovah. There's no reference to the Almighty. There's no reference to any spiritual communication in the life of Elimelech. I would judge it was a day of spiritual famine, and in a day of physical famine, and in a day of spiritual famine, a man says, "There's nothing for me here. This is not the house of bread. There is nothing for me. All I can do is leave the house of bread." And he went into the country of Moab. Quite a day. Quite a day. A day of famine. I want to speak to you for a moment. Not only was it a day of famine, but I notice right here in the chapter, it was a day of failure. He retraces the steps of the nation. It's quite a thing. I don't have time to stay with it. To get to the country of Moab, they had to retrace the steps of the nation of Israel coming into the land. And they make it to Moab. He likely never thought that once he left the house of bread, that he would be 10 years in Moab. Likely never thought it. And yet here he is. And we have read not only of a day of famine, but a day of failure. They continued there. And the dear man, he died out of fellowship with God. I say this too, my brethren. I say this too, beloved sisters. Not only did he die out of fellowship with God, away from the house of bread, he lost his family in the land of Moab. Always remember, taking steps away from God's assembly, there will always be collateral damage. Think well about it. My brother, beloved sister today, if you are thinking of leaving today, always remember, there will be a price to pay for leaving the house of bread. It was a day of famine. It was a day of failure. I notice it was a day of faithfulness. She's coming back. Now, you know the story. I really don't have time to stay with it. You know the story. How that the two dear women, they come along the road with her. Orpah and Ruth are coming with Naomi back to the land of her fathers. And she says to them, she puts the test before them. She says, "Listen, my daughters. Listen, my daughters. I can't raise up sons for you." She says, "Listen, you'll have to go back." And I see Orpah. Now you've got the picture. You see Orpah turning away, giving the last wave, heading back to her people. And you hear the words of Ruth. You know the story of Ruth. "Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou diest, I will die. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. I'm coming with you to the house of bread." Oh, it was quite a day when you see the two widows walking along the road and the words of Ruth ringing in the ears of Naomi, "I'm coming. Thy God shall be my God." You know, I really shouldn't stay with it. She took a step of faith. Never forget, she took a step of faith. And the step of faith brought her into living contact with Jehovah. Do you know the wonderful thing? It put her into the genealogy of Christ. Quite a thing. You read Matthew chapter 1. You young believers, let me speak to you for a moment. Where's my friend? There's Timothy. Quite a study. You read that genealogy in Matthew chapter 1. And you look for the women in Matthew's genealogy. No women in Luke's genealogy. But you read right down Matthew's genealogy. Ruth, the Moabitess. One step of faith into the genealogy of Christ. It was a day of faithfulness. When she comes back, she says a wonderful thing. Do you know what she says? You would expect. The dear woman takes full responsibility. She says, I went out. I would say it was her husband who made the decision. She takes full responsibility. She says, I went out. Do you know what she says? It was a day of famine. Sure it was. But you know what she says? I went out full. Quite a thing, isn't it? You say, sure it was a famine. I know it was. But the dear woman says, in those days of famine, we took a step from the house of bread, and I went out full. And she says, the Lord hath brought me back empty. She didn't say that. No, no. She did not say, the Lord hath brought me back again empty. Do you know what she says? The Lord hath brought me home again. For this woman, Moab was never home. Her mind was always on the house of bread. You know, my brother, beloved sister today, maybe I'm speaking to someone, and it's not long ago you took steps away from the assembly of God. Can I just tell you today, there's always a way back. There is always a way back. Thank God, He restoreth our souls. Thank God for one who restores us. It was a day of famine. It was a day of failure. It was a day of faithfulness. The Almighty was faithful. But I noticed this. It was a day of fullness. Can't you see them? They're walking along the road. And I read it just in the last clause of Ruth chapter 1. And it says this. They came back at the beginning of barley harvest. There was the barley waving in the breeze. Now you will know that the barley, it's the harvest at Passover time. You will also remember wheat harvest. That's the harvest at Pentecost. They tell me, in those eastern harvests, the barley, it is harvest. It is harvested when its head droops. It speaks of Christ in humiliation. You will also know that the wheat is harvested when the head of the wheat is standing upright. It speaks of Christ in exaltation. And here they're coming home. When did they come home? Just at Passover time, when the lamb was to be taken. Here they're coming along the roadside, and the barley is there, full provision in the house of bread to feed their souls. Oh, can I say to God's people today, there's a full provision in this book. You know, would to God we could get through it, my brethren. I say to my younger friends again, you devote your lives, young brethren, and young sisters too, you devote your lives to this book. Get a Newbery. Can I tell you that? I should have said it last weekend at Sussex Conference. This is a Penfold Newbery. And you know, when that dear man reprinted this book, this Bible, in 1998, do you know what he gave us? He gave us gold dust. Literally. This is gold dust. You can hardly get them now. $700 on the internet. If you got one, sell it. But if you know what you've got, don't sell it. I say to my younger friends in this audience, listen, you young believers, get to this book, the book of God, and you in turn will be able to feed the people of God. And here she's coming back, and the barley is waving in the wind. It's the house of bread for provision for the people of God. Well, you say, wait a moment. What is that? Well, you will know. It is something that was put into alien soil. It was put into an area that wasn't part of itself. It was dropped into that ground, and it grew up before the Lord. When it reached full maturity, it was cut down. And there was actually a sheaf of that taken, the first wave sheaf, and presented right into the very presence of God. You know, beloved saints, it's the person of the Lord Jesus. He grew up in an area and in a place. He grew up as a tender plant before his God. There came a moment when he reached full maturity, and he was cut off out of the land of the living. And that one that was cut down, that one that was cut off, he has been taken by God into the very presence of the Almighty. That's where he is today. God has saluted his Son. And here we have it. It was a day of fullness. Can I say again, feed on Christ. Don't be feeding on the things of this world. I pulled up at a set of traffic lights recently. Fact is, it was in Florida. Maybe it's not so recent. Just over a year ago. I was in a car. I was driving the car. And a young fellow pulled up beside me in a little car. You know the music they listen to. I mean, the car was just rocking. I looked at my wife. And the car's rocking with that kind of, I'm not even sure what kind of music to call it. The car was, it was vibrating, just bouncing off the road. And she looked at me and said, don't even think about it. She knew I wanted to race him. Don't even think about it. Can I say to the young people today, in Ruth chapter 1, it was a day of famine. In Ruth chapter 1, it was a day of failure. In Ruth chapter 1, it was a day of faithfulness. But in Ruth chapter 1, it was a day of fullness. There was something to feed on. Feed on Christ and feed the people of God. The sojourner who returned to Bethlehem. What about Luke's Gospel chapter 2? I'll touch it quickly and come to 2 Samuel. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, we've got the Savior who was rejected at Bethlehem. It was quite a day when Christ was rejected. Quite a day when she brought forth her firstborn son. She'd made her way across those Judean hills. Likely 70 miles they had come. She was great with child. And she brings forth her firstborn son, wraps him in swaddling clothes, lays him in a manger. There was no room for them, because they were associated with Christ. Do you know what I notice about this woman? This woman had a knowledge of the Scriptures. In fact, you've only got to read Luke's Gospel chapter 1 to see her knowledge of the Scriptures. The angel Gabriel comes, and the angel Gabriel announces that she would be the one to bring Christ into the world. And she starts, and I see her go to Elizabeth. And I see her start in that Magnificat, and she starts to expound the Scriptures. Psalm 103, Exodus chapter 20, Psalm 107. She starts to go through it all because she had a knowledge of this book. She had a knowledge of the Scriptures. Quite a woman, this. I remember a dear man told us on one occasion four views of Mary. We've got Mary in prophecy from the book of Isaiah. We've got Mary in history from Luke's Gospel. We've got Mary at Calvary. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And of course, his last point was this. Mary in the assembly. Acts chapter 1. The last time we read of Mary in the New Testament, who is she with? She's with the apostles in the upper room. Mary in the assembly. Quite a lady. But her hands were full of the Scriptures, and her heart was full of the Scriptures. Hands full of Christ, and a heart full of Christ. And she starts to pour out her heart. You know, beloved sisters, maybe we miss you sometimes. Just in the ministry of the Scriptures, give yourself to this book. Fill your lives and fill your heart with Christ. Here's a woman with perfect knowledge of the Scriptures. I also noticed this. She was pure. Now, I do want to be careful touching this. But when Gabriel appeared to her, Luke says in his gospel, he appeared to a virgin. You know, there are things that are being set aside in this world. And one of those things that is being set aside is moral purity. I say to my own heart, first and primarily, it comes back here. Hebrews chapter 13. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. And Paul says to Timothy, keep thyself pure. And here's a woman. Not only has she a knowledge of the Scriptures, but she is pure. And I say to my younger friends here, young believers in our audience, keep thyself pure. There are things that God has reserved for the sanctity of marriage. Keep thyself pure. I notice this. She wasn't prepared to be unequally yoked. She's getting married. She's engaged, in our terminology. She is engaged to a person in her own tribe, spiritually, her equal. And I say again, I won't stay long with it. No unequal yoke. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What I want to come to is this. She was prepared to bear reproach to bring Christ in. There was going to be reproach. She knew it. And Joseph knew it. So that Christ would be presented to people. So that Christ would be manifest to people. She had to bear reproach. And so did Joseph. Right through her life, they threw it at her. She bore reproach right to the end of her days. We be not born of fornication. That's the reproach she bore. But she was prepared to bear reproach with Christ and inherit an everlasting kingdom. You know, Jim Elliot said it well and said it right. You know what Jim Elliot said? He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool. You know, my beloved saints today, bear reproach for Christ, to bring Christ in. Just as I finish, 2 Samuel 23, I'll not touch the last one. 2 Samuel chapter 23, there's a sovereign. He was refreshed at Bethlehem. It's a beautiful story. You read the story of David and his mighty men, and you'll read of the man, Benaiah, I think his name is. I didn't take time to read in our chapter. Benaiah, he's the man that killed the lion in a pit on a snowy day. You say, what's that got to do with us? You know, in this era, when David lived, it was a difficult day. You know what people tell me? Listen to what they tell me. I've had people wring their hands. And they say, it's so difficult. I mean, there never has been such a difficult day. That's nonsense. I hope we believe that. I mean, you take Cape Breton this afternoon. How would you like to be Benaiah? How would you like to be the man that was sent out after the lion in the pit on the snowy day? There has never been an easy day. My brethren, there has never been an easy day to serve God. And Benaiah that day, in a difficult day, he served his God. And that's what God has called upon us to do. There has never been an easy day. My brethren, fill our hands and serve God today. I notice the man Shammah. It was a difficult day. Benaiah. On that day, there's a patch of lentils, and it has to be defended. You say, wait a second. It's only a patch of lentils. I mean, it's only a patch of lentils. Ah, but wait. That was God's ground. And those lentils were food for the people of God. And Shammah, I see him stand in the midst, right in the midst of the patch of lentils. And he takes his sword, or whatever it was, and he stands in the midst, and he defends the ground. Can I just say again, my brethren, there is a place and it needs to be defended in a difficult day. It's the house of God. And in that day, there's a king. And the king looks at three of these mighty men, and he says, oh, that someone would give me to drink. Oh, that someone would give me to drink of the water that is by the well of Bethlehem. But the Philistines were in Bethlehem. Now, you know who the Philistines are. The Philistines are first mentioned in the Scriptures, in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 10. The Philistines, they inhabited the land without redemption. They were those who professed to be in the land, but they'd never been bought by blood. And here David says, he says, oh, that someone would give me to drink. And three of those men, they break through the hosts of the Philistine. I see them fill. They fill that flask, and they bring it to David. And they refresh the heart of the king. And David pours it out to his God. Let me just ask you, older believers, when did you last rise in that assembly and refresh the heart of our heavenly David? Oh, you say, I give out a hymn. Doesn't count. Sorry. When did you last rise to your feet and pour out your heart in worship and give God thanks for the one that came from the everlasting glory and died for our sins upon the cross and refreshed the heart of the King? And here are men, the sovereign, who was refreshed at Bethlehem. I leave you with the last one. I've gone over these very quickly. Apologies for the haste. But in 1 Samuel 16, the son who reigned in Bethlehem, David is anointed king. May the Lord help us. The king is coming someday. We've already heard about that. The king is coming. May God help us to serve him until the moment of his return.